traditional homes. We come from blended homes. We come from adopted homes. We all come out of some sort of home. I lied to the church last Sunday. I said, what do you mean I lied to the church? He said, you told the church you grew up in a functional family, and I know your family. So just for clarification, when I say my family is functional, I'm talking about the Rutledge side of my family. Them Cochrans, they put the funk in dysfunctional. I'm just saying. So we come out of this family. We come out of these homes. And family is the basis of our homes. Family is the basis of our homes. There's an all-out war, in case you haven't noticed it. There is an all-out war in our world against family right now. The enemy knows if he can tear down the family. The enemy knows if he can come in and get divorce to happen. He knows if he can come in and get dysfunction to happen. The enemy knows that family is the basis of our homes. And the basis of family we're going to talk about today, the basis of family starts with marriage. Starts with one man and one woman coming together and creating a family, doing what God said, coming together and reproducing of its own. So I know not every one of you today in here is married. I get that. I understand that. Maybe some of you may never get married. And you know what? That's okay. To those of you that aren't married and to those of you that may never get married, I want to talk to both of you. For those of you who aren't married but aspire and hope to be married someday, I want to challenge you right now, make up in your mind and start preparing yourself for your own marriage. Start preparing yourself for your family. Start preparing how you're going to live and set some standards right now. And don't marry, can I say this? I'm preaching to my kids and all the youngsters around here too. You cannot marry someone that has standards totally opposite of yours. You cannot come in and be unified with someone that doesn't believe the same way you do. You are starting that marriage off wrong. Can I tell you that the steps of good men and women are ordered by the Lord? And if you are walking and you are trusting and believing in God's plan, he has someone set up for you to enter into the union of marriage that believes like you, lives like you, loves like you, so that you can raise up and have a home sweet home yourself. Don't settle. For those of you that want to get married, make up your mind right now. And for those of you that may never get married, some of you may never get married. You know what? I would say this to you. Praise God. You can be like the Apostle Paul. You can devote more of your time to honoring and serving God than you can worrying about marriage. This scripture I'm going to read you, it's so good. I love it. 1 Corinthians 7. You're going to write this down. You got to take notes about this. You got to type it in your phone. You got to remember it, however. 1 Corinthians 7, verse 32 through 35. 1 Corinthians chapter 7, verse 32 through 35. Paul says, I want you to be free from anxieties. That's a word for somebody. Look at me. Look. God says, I want you to be free from anxieties. If TV causes you anxiety, turn it off. If Fox News causes you anxiety, turn it off. If Instagram causes you anxiety, turn it off. If you're dating someone and they cause you anxiety, cut them loose. If your job causes you anxiety, start looking for another one. God says, I want you to be free from anxiety. How many know anxiety is killing our world and it's killing our homes? I want you to be free from anxieties. Watch this. The unmarried man is anxious about the things of the Lord, how to please the Lord. So if you're not going to get married, then you don't have any anxiousness about trying. You just got to serve God. Think about serving God. Think about honoring God. Verse 33, but the married man, he's anxious about worldly things, and he's anxious about how he's going to please his wife. Tubby. Verse 34 says, and his interests are divided. And the unmarried or the betrothed woman, she's anxious about the things of the Lord, how to be holy in body and spirit. But the married woman, she's anxious about worldly things, how to please her husband. I say this for your own benefit, not to lay any restraint on you, but to promote good order and to secure your undivided devotion to the Lord. Paul says right there, if you're not going to get married, then good deal, you can devote your whole life and your time and your effort, not to just chasing a career, not to just trying to be rich, not just trying to be famous, not just trying to build a huge church. He said, "You, if you remain single, you can devote your life to honoring and glorifying God in everything that you do." But he says, if you're married, if you decide to get married, then you know what it says? Husbands, you need to seek to please your wife. Every one of you women should have shouted amen right then and right there. Men of God, we are called and we enter into marriage to seek to please our wives. She's our helpmeet. She's our partner. God has ordained us to be together. Now, on the other hand, wives, you should seek to please your husband. At least there's two or three of y'all got some cojones in here. The rest of you don't. Well, I just think there's a concept for us. I just think that's a concept for you and I as we enter into these homes, as we're trying to make and create home sweet home. I just think you and I should be reminded that, man of God, you are called to please your wife, to honor your wife, to love your wife like Christ loved the church. And that means lay yourself down. And that means sacrifice your will and your way and your plans and do what you can to raise your wife up and elevate her. And wives, you are called to be a helpmeet. Submit to yourself. Submit to God and to the plan of God. Submit to your husband. And I just believe that home sweet home would be different if we would just learn to say, it's not about me, but it's about her. It's not about me, but it's about him. Because home sweet home starts with marriage. When one man and one woman are seeking to please each other, there's this thing, this quote that goes around, and it says this: happy wife, happy life. Happy life. That's BS. Just saying. It just is. It just is. Because how about this one? Happy spouse, happy house. Come on, somebody. Happy spouse, happy house. We come together when this union between one man and one woman come together. It is known as the sacred covenant of marriage. That's what creates home sweet home. Now, it's sad that we have to do this. But we live in 2024 right now. It's sad that we have to do it, but we have to discuss what biblical marriage really is. We have to talk about it. What marriage is according to God's plan, because our world, because our culture, Satan himself, our government, our education system, they are trying to redefine what marriage really is, and they're trying to redefine what God has set out as family. The enemy is trying to destroy the family, because when you destroy the family, you destroy the plans of God. There is only one way that family and marriage works, and that's God's way. And it's been that way since the beginning of time. Genesis chapter 1. Let's just go to the Word of God. Genesis chapter 1, verse 27 through 28. Genesis 1, 27 and 28. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him. Male and female, God created them. And God blessed them and said to them, be fruitful and multiply and fill the earth and subdue it and have dominion over the fish of the sea, the birds of heaven, and over every living thing that moves on the earth. God created man and he created woman to come together. Let's read some more. Genesis 2, 22 through 25. And the rib, which the Lord God had taken from man, he made it into a woman and brought her to the man. Then the man said, this is bone of my bone, flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman because she was taken out of a man. Here's marriage. Therefore, a man shall leave his father and mother and hold fast to his wife, and they shall become one flesh. And the man and his wife were both naked, and they were not ashamed. The beginning of time, God started out. He said, here's one man, here's one woman. I've made them in such a way that they can come together intimately. They can come together spiritually. They can come together physically, and they can reproduce, and they can have children. And he said, this is how home sweet home is supposed to be. I love this fact right here. This is just a little extra, but I love the fact that Adam and Eve, they're created, they're living in the garden, they're both naked, they are belong to each other. Adam is seeking to please Eve. Eve is seeking to please Adam. They're living in the will of God, and there's no shame at all. There's no shame at all. There's no shame. That alludes to this, the purity, the innocence and the oneness of marriage God's way. No shame in that. So then Adam and Eve, they create this home, whatever their home looked like, and they went on to have children. They went on to have kids. We're going to study later in this series in a couple of weeks, and we're going to figure out how they had a little bit of a dysfunctional family themselves, that their kids didn't do just always right, and it's just the way it is. So nonetheless, this is the basis of marriage. One man, one woman, committed to God and to each other, raising kids through pregnancy, through adoption, through fostering, through godparents, through spiritual children. Here we are. Family starts with marriage. We're going to have this home sweet home. We're going to work on it. Cody, my family's a little screwy. Cody, help me out. What are the practical steps that I can do so that I can start creating a home sweet home? We're going to go back to the Old Testament, Deuteronomy chapter 6. We're going to go back to the Old Testament. We're going to read some really, really good scripture where God teaches us how to create home sweet home. Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 4 through 15. Says, "Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord, and you shall love the Lord your God with all of your heart, with all of your soul, and with all of your might. And these words that I command you today, they shall be on your heart, and you shall teach them diligently to your children. You shall talk of them when you sit in your house, when you walk by the way, when you lie down, and when you rise up. You shall bind these commandments as a sign on your hands, and they shall be the frontlets to your eyes. You shall write them on the doorpost of your house and on your gates. And when the Lord your God brings you into this land that he swore to your fathers, to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob, to give to you with great and good cities that you didn't build, houses full of good things that you didn't fill, and cisterns that you did not dig, and vineyards and olive trees that you did not plant. And when you eat, you will be full." Here's a plan. Such an easy plan. Such a simple plan. God said, when you have this family, God said, when you have this marriage and you start raising kids, just start loving God with all of your heart and teaching your children the commandments of God. That's what he says to do. Just teach your children such rich promises. And when we do, how many of you know, when we are obedient to the word of God, God will always do exceedingly abundantly above and beyond all we can ask or think. This is such a great plan with such rich promises. God said, if you have a family and you love God and you talk about God and you teach your children the commandments of God when you're lying down, it said, "I promise I will give you lands. I will give you houses full of things that you didn't fill. I will give you wells. I will give you vineyards, and you will be full and be satisfied." There is satisfaction in being obedient to the plans of God. Start in your homes by loving God with all of your heart, soul, mind, and strength. Loving God with all of yourself. Can I tell you, God doesn't ask for our perfection. God doesn't ask for our performance. God doesn't ask for our productions. God just says, "I want you to love me with all you got." Now, can we talk about something tonight? Can we talk about something today? Can we be real? Can we be honest? Let's be honest. And I'm glad you're here on Sunday morning. I'm here to push you. I'm here to push you. I'm here to push you. I'm glad you're here, so don't get me wrong. But the question is this: how well do you love God? Not in a pretentious way, not with an answer that you're supposed to say, "Oh, I love God. That's why I'm here, Cody. I know that." But really, do we love God with all of our heart, with all of our soul, with all of our strength, with all of our might? Like, do we really love God? That's where this all starts. Because in our families and in our homes, can I challenge you, men of God, if you want your family to grow and you want your family to be blessed spiritually and you want your home to be home sweet home, it starts with you fathers, it starts with you husbands, it starts with you men of God. And you know what you need to do? You need to love God with passion. And not just on Sundays. Not just when things are going awry and not going like you want. Love God, moms, wives. Can I tell you, we need you because we're weak men. Come on, somebody. And we need a wife to say, we're going to love God. We're going to love God with all we got, because our children will model how much we love God. more in our lives. Can I tell you this? How many of you heard that old saying? Do as I say and not as I do. How many know that don't work? Your kids are not going to do what you say. They're going to do exactly what you do. And in our homes, I love this phrase, more is caught than is taught. More is caught than is taught. We can teach all we want to, but they're going to catch our behavior and they're going to do what we do. And I'm just asking you, how much do you really love God? How much action do you put forth into loving God? Let me give you an example. Like, I love Tubby. Me and Tubby have been married for 25 years. Dear God, I shouldn't be that old. 25, like, I love Tubby. And I don't just say to her, like, I love you, Tubby, and then go do what I want to do. Like, we've been together long enough that I want to seek to please her, whether you believe that or not, Tubby. I'm trying. Just be patient with me. There's things that I know that she likes. I know how she likes her coffee in the mornings. And yes, I make her coffee in the mornings. I know how, when we eat eggs, I know how she likes her eggs cooked. When we cook steak on the grill, I have to cook hers a little longer because she likes all the flavor to be cooked out of it. I know what she likes. I know that her love language is words of affirmation. It's meaningful to her when I say, you look pretty today, Jennifer. When I say, I am proud of you, Jennifer. Her other love language is physical touch. Hold her hand. Put my arm around her. I love her with all I've got. I don't always get it right. Sometimes I make mistakes. But after being with her 25 years, I have learned how to speak her love language. And I do what I do to show her that I love her with all of my heart, soul, and mind. She does the same for me. I am the same with my kids. Jennifer likes her eggs one way. Jesse likes his another way. Will likes his another way. And Clara likes hers another way. It's a struggle being a Cochran, I'm just saying. I've learned to love them in a way that's meaningful to them because it matters to me. Let me ask you something right quick. How long you been loving God? How long have you been in this loving relationship with God who saved you, who cleansed you, who picked you up out of the miry clay and set your feet on the rock to stay? Have you learned God's love language? Have you changed the way that you act? Have you changed what you've done or what your parents did? Have you changed it because you know that's what pleases Him and you want to love Him not just in word, but you want to love Him in deed as well? How well do we love God? How well do we love God? And here's another question I got to ask you. Sometimes, let me ask you this. Raise your hands. How many of you are married in here today? Let me see, raise your hand. Hold them up high. Let me ask you something. How well do you think your marriage would go if you loved your spouse with the same intensity that you love God? How well do you think your marriage would be? How well do you think home sweet home would be if you loved your spouse the way you love God? Because I'm just being real and I'm just telling you the truth. Many of us, if we love God with half our hearts and half our minds and half of our strength, we are probably above the curve. God is saying to us, just live one home sweet home. You got to love God more with everything that is within yourself. Is this challenging, y'all? Is it challenging to be a father and make four different cups of coffee? Is it challenging to cook steak four different temperatures exactly on one open fire? Is it challenging to be a preacher and preach a message to satisfy all 500 of you? Sometimes it's tiring. Sometimes it wears you out. Sometimes when you get it wrong, it's even humiliating. Sometimes you just go, man, well, I don't know. But can I tell you, it is worth it. When Clara says, thanks for my coffee, Dad, with the little heart that you poured in the latte art. When Tubby comes and says something, when the boys come, it's worth it all when you lay it all down and love with all of your heart. It's worth it all. It's tiring. Can I tell you something? There is no easy button in the kingdom of God. Everywhere you go, everybody wants an easy button, an easy pill, an easy drink, an easy diet, an easy this, an easy that. There, if you want to create a home sweet home, and you want to honor God, and you want the blessings of God, and you want a marriage to be like God wants it to be, and you want to raise up good, godly children that exude the fruit of God in their life, it is not easy. We got to work hard at it. We have to work hard at it. When we love God more, and that's where I'm challenging today, when we learn to love God more in our homes, it'll change the atmosphere of our homes. It'll change everything. Home sweet home starts with family. Home sweet home is family, starts with marriage, God's way. Husband and wife, striving to have a relationship with God, but then striving to please one another. Raising up children according to the Holy Scripture, to the Holy Word of God. Loving God with all of our heart, soul, mind, and strength. I'm going to remind you once again, this means loving God with action and not words. Have you seen any professional athletes lately? They win a ball game. They win a championship. Somebody comes and sticks a microphone in their face. And they go, they want to say, well, first of all, I just want to thank God. I love God. Praise God. I love God today. But then the next week on social media, they're beating their wife up. Or the next week on social media, they're out getting drunk and slobbering drunk and smoking dope. They're getting it. So our country has kind of been conditioned to say, I love God. I love God. I love God. It's time for us to move beyond saying we love God. And it's time for us to go, you know what? I'm going to put action behind what I say I believe, and I'm going to follow the commands of God. Conrad, come help me close this, please. Because Jesus says this in Matthew 15. I want you to listen to this. Matthew 15, verse 8 and 9. Jesus said, these people, they honor me with their lips, but their hearts are far from me. They worship me in vain, and their teachings are just rules taught by men. This has got to change in our homes, y'all. Next week, I'm going to tell you what. You know what we're going to talk about next week? This will give you something to study about. Jesus said, when you're in your homes, teach your children the commandments of God. Teach it diligently. Let me ask you something. How many of you, if I called you out today, could list the Ten Commandments right off that like that? Boom, boom, I can tell you. If we don't know the commandments ourselves, how can we teach the commandments to our kids? How long has it been since you talked to your children about the commandments of God? What about if you want to flip over in the New Testament? There's over 50 commands of Christ that Christ commanded us to do. If we're going to teach our kids, we have to learn what the commands really are and quit teaching religion and teach the Word of God. We do that when we love God. It's got to change in our homes, men and women. Young people, you got a plan. My home's going to be this way when I get that age, when I get to the point to get married. As you look at your homes, let me ask you this to bow your heads. Maybe stand on your feet and bow your heads for a moment. As you look at your homes today, as you focus on your homes, on your life, on the relationships within your home, here's a question I got to ask you. If I ask your kids, does your mom and daddy love God with all their heart, soul, mind, and strength, what would your kids say? What would you say? How well do you love the Lord? As you look at your life and your home, and we begin to focus on home for the next many, many weeks, what areas in your home need improvement? If Father, we love you. We thank you for today, and we thank you just for, we thank you for loving us. Thank you for this moment. Thank you for our church home where we can just come together and just be authentic and be real and just worship you, Lord. So God, I just pray for each person in this room. I pray your Holy Spirit would begin to move and convict, Lord, that you would turn our hearts back towards home, that we would run back home like the song that we sang. And as we look at our homes in a real way, in an authentic way, Lord, challenge us about our attitudes. Challenge us about our hearts. Lord, I pray you would challenge the husbands in this room today. Challenge the husbands to seek to please their wives, to lay down their life for their wives. Lord, I pray for the wives in this place, that they would be strong enough in their faith to go, you know what, I'm going to submit to the Lord, and I'm going to submit to my husband, and I'm going to try to seek to please him. That, Lord, home sweet home is going to start when one man and one woman come together and do it God's way and live God's way. That's where your blessing is, Lord. And then let us raise children that see us loving God. God forbid they see us playing a game. God forbid they see us on Friday night and then see us another way on Sunday morning. God, let us be men and women and leaders of our homes who walk this thing out daily, not in perfection, but we walk it out every day with passion to honor you and to love you and to give everything we've got to you, God. Lord, we just want greater homes. We want home sweet home to form and to shape our lives and to form and to shape the lives of the next generation. So challenge us. Speak to us today, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. Let's close with a song.